Have you been hitting the books and listening to lectures all day? It's time to relax, to unwind, and listen up. This is Brooke from Campus Chronicles, your go-to podcast for everything student life. No matter where you are in your academic journey, we have you covered. Think of us as a trusted mentor, friend, and confidant who always has your back. We'll be sharing inspiring stories, thought-provoking insights, and practical advice to help you succeed in and out of the classroom. So get ready to be inspired, enlightened, and entertained. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to a wonderful woman. Her name is Jess Diamond, and she is from Jess Diamond Coaching. Jess, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to figure out where this conversation is going to go.
I'm so excited to see where it's going to go, too, because you have so many unique and exciting viewpoints and areas of expertise that I think we could probably talk for hours. But before we do that, give us a little bit of insight into your journey and where you started.
Oh, man. So my journey, I'd say officially started during the pandemic when I lost my job day one and a half into working from home. And I tied a lot of my career to my identity and my self-worth. And that was mistake number one. So when it was taken from me and completely out of my control, I lost who I was. I had no reason to get out of bed in the morning and just kind of went through a downward spiral. And it was once that kind of got over that big hump after the initial month, I started to realize, like, what else could I be doing with my time? Because it's not like I could go apply for other jobs. There was, the whole world was shut down. So once I started to take more control back into my life, and it started with pursuing personal training, did I start to find my passion of helping other people, which eventually led me into health coaching, and then life coaching, and then later career and confidence coaching, which is what I do now.
That is incredible. So I love what you said about tying your career to your self-worth and your identity, because I have to tell you, I've had a lot of issues with that when I wasn't able to continue doing something, or like you, when the world was shut down and everything that I did was very in-person, very person-forward, people-y, for lack of a better term, and I couldn't do that anymore. I struggled with a lot of feelings of, you know, not being able to define a purpose for myself, I think is probably the best way I could say it, feeling very purposeless and feeling like my life had very little to no direction.
Definitely relate to that feeling. You feel like you're swimming in the ocean with no land in sight, and you're terrified to swim in the wrong direction. Again, not knowing what is on that other side if you just keep going in one way, even though theoretically, eventually you will come across land in that analogy. But I was in that experience. I help all of my clients who are facing those similar experiences. I think a lot of us fall into that same trap of tying our identity and our self-worth to what we do. You say, I was an interior designer. So I would say, like, oh yeah, I'm an interior designer. That's who I am. And that's not. There's so much more about you that matters, that is important, than what you do for a living.
Mm-hmm. And what I think can be so dangerous and so scary is we go our entire lives and we are told to pick out a career, to be successful in the career, to excel in the career. And then if we maybe have a difficult patch, or if we have to pivot or make a transition, we start to feel like there's something wrong with us. And that's so dangerous, because I believe I read a statistic, and I could be incorrect, but more than 30% of Americans make a massive career pivot at some point in their life.
Yeah, I read a similar statistic of, I forget, it was around 30%, but, or I think it was more than that, don't work in the career that they chose or this major that they studied in. They've changed their path at some point then from when they're in college. I laugh at the idea of being expected to pick out your career for the rest of your life at 18, at 17.
With such limited life experience and situations that you've been in.
Yes. No direction and no one to help you really analyze all of the career opportunities out there or what you like. Like, nobody. I was an interior designer with no artistic background I didn't have a passion for it. I just redesigned my bedroom in 11th grade. And my mom was like, oh, you're pretty good at this. You should be an interior designer. And me knowing like, okay, my mom knows more about career choices than I do. Sure, I'll do that. And looking back, it was the most left field choice I could have made for myself because I always had a passion for health and fitness and taking care of myself and how it got me down the road to where I am today.
But I think it's easy to feel like this is logical. This career is going to make me good enough, worthy, acceptable, seen as, you know, successful in the eyes of society. And I think that's what leads people down the path of picking things that sometimes aren't right for them.
Yeah, I agree. I know for me, I mainly just didn't want a desk job. I didn't want to be doing the same thing every single day. And I felt interior design did fit that. But what they don't tell you is that it is very much a desk job and you're hardly going on site, especially as a junior designer. Like it was not at all what I thought it was going to be with the intention I went into, as well as not looking into the lifestyle factors behind it and how much the potential for income too is not very high. So in my defense, like it did make it a much easier transition to become self-employed because I wasn't losing that much. There were not good benefits, not good pay. Like I was like, okay, I don't need this anymore in my life. I'm good to follow my passions and follow my dreams and take this next step.
I love that. Why do you think young people are not prepared to learn about lifestyle choices? In my situation, it was the same thing. I went into broadcasting. I did not know anything about that life. Why are we all prepared?
I think it's the whole reason behind this podcast is that no one talks about it. It's why I have my own podcast, is talking about the things that nobody wants to talk about or nobody shares. It's funny, like you go through your life and people just expect you to already know these things, but you're not going to be able to know these things without going through it yourself. And unfortunately, a lot of these times it's trial and error to get through these lifestyle factors to learn more about yourself, about what you want out of your life, about who you are, and staying true to yourself and taking action that's in alignment with who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. And I love that last part, alignment about who you want to be, because I think it's easy to choose a career that looks good on paper, like you just mentioned, but not a career that actually fits anything to do with the alignment of who you are.
Yeah.
Do you see that a lot?
I do. And I think I also see it in terms of friend groups too. And it's more so of who do I want to be viewed as on the outside versus staying true to yourself and knowing that at the end of the day, you're coming home to you. You're not coming home to anyone else. And you need to feel good about the person you're coming home to and going to bed with every single night. And that's you. I mean, yes, later on you'll get married, you'll find a partner, but it's always going to be you.
Mm-hmm. And if you're not happy with you, no one else can be. So why do you think, I love that you mentioned that about friend groups. Why do you think that we make choices that aren't right for us in your experience, in your life? When have you done that?
I did that high school. I did that for most of college. And then finally, by my junior year of college, I stopped doing that. And I think it's because movies and TV shows and social media all puts on this facade of you need to be the best, you need to be with the cool kids. That's how you're going to be successful. And it's all what can you show for yourself to the outside world, to your external environment. And you're going to make decisions according to that, to how you can prove yourself worthy to other people rather than just worthy to yourself. And my life became a lot more enjoyable once I started to find the friends that I wanted to be friends with, not because they looked a certain way on the outside or had a certain status on the outside, but who they were to their core and how that those relationships helped me actually become the coach I am today, how they supported me through each of my transitions. And knowing that previous friend groups I made would not have been as supportive. They would have been like, oh, you're really going to go do that? You're going to start your own business? I mean, I started my business when I was 24. That's unheard of for most people. But it is, it's really at the end of the day, knowing your own values and sticking to that, your core and who you are, rather than who you want other people to think you are.
And we don't live in a society that prioritizes and celebrates living by your own values. And what you've just mentioned about movies and TV shows, and I love books, but even books, none of that is celebrating, or rarely does it celebrate somebody that says, that person's wonderful, but they're not for me. That engagement or party or class is wonderful, but it's not for me. That is so hard to say when you're young.
I'd say it's even something I've learned this year. And it was for me, last year I went through a friend group transition, and learning that the friends I was friends with was, again, for the social reasons. I'm having fun on the outside, but I wasn't having deep conversations. There was no one I could celebrate with or that would be there to comfort me if I was having a downfall moment. And I'm not a big drinker, but St. Patrick's Day came around and a bunch of people that I knew, not that I was close with, that I knew, were all doing a bar crawl together. And I felt left out, even though I don't like bar crawls and I don't want to be at the bar, but it's still that feeling of they didn't even invite me. Like, I wasn't thought of. And again, I'm not in that close group with those girls and those guys that were in there, but there's still that part of you that I want to show to myself or to other people that, like, yes, I have a life. I can be fun. I can do these things, even though that's not what I consider fun anymore.
No, and it pings that little vein of, oh, I'm not worthy. And I think that we get that vein pinged so often in our young 20s because it's a big transitional time, and left and right, up and down, it's easy to feel like you're not good enough.
Yeah. I mean, your life just continues to change, and it does not stop once you graduate high school. Because everything up until that point was laid out for you, and then it's on you to pick your next direction. And you want it to turn out well. I mean, who wouldn't? But there's so many unknowns that are paired with it, and it's terrifying. And again, you want everyone to see that you're doing fine and you're thriving and everything's okay. It's why no one talks about it. No one wants to admit that they're struggling, not out in the open, at least. I know for me, like, I won't admit my own struggles until after I've gone through them. And then I can bestow the insight into other people of, like, hey, I dealt with this. Here's what I did. Here's how it can help you. But in that moment, I'm not admitting to any of that, at least not out loud. I do it with my coach. I did it with my therapist, my mom, my best friend, but it stays in a very small circle. So it's not common knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think the young 20s or the late teen years are such a lonely time?
I think it's because you have so many opportunities. That's a good thing and a bad thing, that you don't know which one to pick, with that fear of regret, or you're going to make the wrong decision, or it's not going to work out well. And all of that kind of holds you back. And you want to stay sheltered because you were sheltered in elementary school, middle school, high school. And now it's on you to take responsibility for your life and your choices and your actions. Mom and dad aren't coming to save you anymore. You're not going home for dinner every single night and being told it's going to be okay, go to school the next day. All of your responsibility gets handed to you in that moment. And it's great if you have that support system of your family that you can turn to, but it's still on you. And it's on you to learn how to make friends. It's on you to find your own hobbies and interests. It's on you to change your mind if you don't like what you're experiencing. It's no one else's responsibility. And I think that's a part where people really get stuck, is they're like, I don't like what's going on, and I'm going to sit and twiddle my thumbs. It's like, no. Do something about it. Anything. Just do something.
I think it's that crippling anxiety that can set in. It's so easy to say, oh, I've made wrong decisions in the past, therefore I can't trust myself.
Yeah. And to that I say, everything is figure outable.
Ooh, I love that. That is so good. And it fits you so well.
Yeah. I tell people, it's like, you have figured out every decision you have ever made up until this point. What makes you think you can't figure out the next one?
Oh, that reminds me of the quote that says you've survived 100% of your worst days.
Yes, I love that one too.
Have you read about the quarter life crisis phenomenon?
I have not. I mean, I know of it. I have not specifically read it. I make a joke that I had my own quarter life crisis, because on my 25th birthday, I handed in the keys and my laptop to my 9-to-5, and then the next day drove a U-Haul up from Florida to North Carolina.
I love that. Well, a lot of people are talking. They're saying that their quarter life crises are setting in younger and younger and younger. And I have to admit, I kind of had my own. Do you think that social media is contributing to this sense of immense pressure that's causing these sort of crises?
Definitely. I think social media is, it was designed to be very helpful and to be very connection filled. And it's actually what's making us feel more and more lonely in our lives. And that's what's leading to that anxiety and those crisis modes, because you're getting thrown into your face everyone's life, people you don't even know. You are seeing their lives. And on social media, people are only going to show you what they want you to see. You're not seeing the whole picture, but your brain is filling in those missing pieces, and it's making you feel worse about yourself because you don't have what these other people do. So yeah, I'd say it's definitely contributing to the crisis.
It is, and it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You can get the thing that you thought you wanted. And oftentimes it's never enough, and that's related to confidence, which is what I love about the work that you do. What are the confidence crises, I guess we're going to use that word, if you will, that you're seeing right now?
In my college clients, because I work with college students and young adults, so young professionals. So in my college clients specifically, the crisis, it has been the school they're at that they chose to go to and finding friends. So it hasn't been so much about their career choice. I've actually, most of my college students have loved their career choice, like what they chose to major in. They're like, I love what I'm studying. I was like, that's great. It's my young adults, my young professionals who are like, I don't know what I'm doing with my career. And it's finding the confidence within themselves to explore that route. So when it comes to when you're in college, I would say your confidence is going to come from going out into the real world or into your college world and just getting as much experience and as much interaction with other people as you can and learn from them. Don't think you have all the information, because you don't. I'm going to tell you right now, you know absolutely nothing. So keep your mind open, stay curious, and get to know as many people as you can. If it's your degree that you're questioning, get that internship. Talk to other people that are already in the field that are current alumni from your school. It's a great way to connect with them, because you already have that connection of something that you guys can relate to, as you both are, either they graduated from that school, you're currently there. And start exploring what you want from your life. I tell my college students, like, this is the most amount of free time you are ever going to have in your entire life. You need to use it. You need to use it to develop better habits. You need to use it to find your hobbies that you can carry out into the real world. You need to start acting like an adult. You're still in your bubble of college, but play adult sometimes and kind of get your life together so it'll make for an easier transition into that real world. College is this false sense of reality, I want to say. But having that structure in your day, your habits in place, finding out what you like to do for yourself to make yourself feel better is all going to increase your level of confidence in who you are, what you're doing, and where you're going with your life.
What would you say to someone who is afraid of maybe making the wrong choice and ending up in a career that they're not passionate about?
You're afraid of making the wrong choice. Know that you can always change your mind. I mentioned earlier, I was an interior design major. And I'm a career and confidence coach. And I also still personal train on the side. So I don't even do a little bit of what I studied in school. And most of my young professional clients they come to me because they want to pivot directions. They want a different career path. And know that you can keep changing your mind too with what it is you want to do. It's really going to come from that experience. And you're not going to know what it is you like or don't like without that first job. So see your degree through to the end, give it a try, and learn a little bit more about what you're looking for from your career. It's okay if your career is a means to an end. If it's not sucking the life out of you day in and day out, keep showing up, collect the paycheck, and use your free time to add that sense of fulfillment and that passion back into your life so that you do feel like you have a reason to wake up in the morning that is worth living for, that's not your career.
Mm-hmm. Because it's so easy to make the career that thing.
Yeah. It's confusing because your career will take up 9, potentially even 10 hours in your day, Monday through Friday, that you feel like there's no time for anything else. And that's a very real feeling. That's where your routine comes into place. That's having consistency in how you're showing up for yourself, taking care of yourself, fueling your body and your brain so you have the energy and the better time management to explore life outside of your career.
That is so important because I think so many people will get to the weekend, and this is, I'm going to convict myself here. It's something that I've done is I'll get to the weekend and be like, what do I do? And then it's easy to just grab your laptop, especially as a self-employed person. It's easy to numb out on your phone. It is the, you know, lowest energy habit possible, but it's not a good one.
Yeah. I gave a talk last year and it was called I Broke Up With My Phone and Why You Should Too.
And oh, I love it.
Yes. And it's because we are addicted to our phones. It's like an extra limb on our body. It has to be near us all the time. I know I'm guilty of it. So how I break up with my phone is I'll set boundaries with myself, and I do it with my laptop. I do it with the TV, like certain boundaries that I know I can fall into that habit of getting stuck of just being by myself. And it's charging my phone in the kitchen. So it's not the first thing that I see in the morning or the last thing I see at night. It's allocating time to work. And if you're in college, it's like allocating what time on the weekends you want to be doing your schoolwork. And I feel like college life and entrepreneur life are very, they go very hand in hand. And then for TV, I started this during the pandemic after I got out of my downward spiral, is no TV until dinner time. It's like I need to fill my time with something else throughout the day. If I have a lull in my day, that cannot be watching TV. And it could be going for a walk. It could be calling a friend. It could be doing some work. But it's something that is more productive to my overall well-being or to my business, or if I'm in school, to my schoolwork, that is not numbing me out from the rest of my life and from my future.
Mm-hmm. And from your feelings.
Yes, from your feelings.
That's a big one. A simple swap that I've made recently is I do have the doom scrolling habit. I know that many people do. But I've been trying to read instead of doom scroll. And it's not perfect, but I'm doing better. And it's made a big difference in the way that I show up and being just less willing to consume the information is making a big difference in how I show up, you know, personally, professionally, all of that. Because we don't realize that when we're on social media all the time, we are consumers. And when we are consumers of a varied amount of content that we don't always know the origins of, it does affect our confidence greatly.
Yes, there's a book that reminds me of, is Sell or Be Sold by Grant Cardone.
Oh, that sounds interesting. What would you say to someone who just wants to build confidence in a way that's not incredibly difficult, doesn't take hours a day? Kind of a simple confidence hack, if you will.
I think it goes back to your values. And it's getting out a piece of paper and writing down 3 to 5 things that are so important to you in your life. So it could be your health, it could be finances, it could be family, it could be friends, whatever it is, just 3 to 5 things. You can get specific with it too, of if it's your health and you don't want to say overarching health, is like sleep is really important to you. I know for me, it's don't talk to me if I've had bad sleep because I'm not a fun person to be around. So sleep is very important. And create a calendar and a schedule for yourself that prioritizes those values, that you can look at your weekly calendar and say, yes, I'm fulfilling those needs. I'm pouring into those cups of what matters the most to me, because that's where that aligned action comes from. That's where organization comes from, and time management, and you feeling good about the life you're in and the life you're creating. And that is your confidence.
Mm-hmm. And you build so much self-trust when you say that you're going to do something for yourself and you follow through and you do it, big or small. You are telling yourself and your body each and every time, you can trust me. And we underestimate so often what a big deal that is. Self-trust and self-confidence, they go hand in hand. If you do not trust yourself, your confidence will not be as strong as it could be.
And to also know there's going to be situations or experiences in your life that are going to knock your confidence down. They just are. That's part of life. We can't prevent that from happening. But what we can do is have preventative measures in place so that you're not knocked off of a building, metaphorically, not literally, from your confidence, that you're maybe knocked one floor down and you can just easily get right back up. And that's where taking care of yourself comes into play. That's going to the gym or moving your body to some capacity every single day. It's getting sunlight. It's eating three meals a day. I know when I was in college, that was a tough one. And I know when I talk to my young professionals, even now, like my late 20-somethings, it's still a tough thing for people to have three meals a day. It's drinking water. It's getting that sleep. It's taking time to read. It's having self-care practices that are beneficial to your health. And I call it your solid foundation, because you can't build a life off of a rocky foundation. You need that solid foundation to help you take risks or try new things, knowing that you have something stable to fall back on in case it doesn't pan out in the way you'd hoped, knowing that it probably won't pan out in the way you hoped.
It never does. You guys, it never, ever, ever does. I can speak from experience here. Jess, I have a hard question for you. If you were going to give three pieces of advice to college-age students, they can be about anything, what would those three pieces of advice be?
I feel like some of it's going to sound a little repetitive. First one will be talk to anyone and everyone. And I say that as don't limit yourself to the people you've already met. Always be open to new relationships and to new people, and talk to your professors. Develop those connections now, your network now, because it'll make everything else so much easier later on. And it's refining that friend building and relationship building skill right now in college while it's safe and while there's so many people around that are similar to your age, also looking for friends that you can just connect with.
It's going to be the fast track to networking, you guys. It's going to be so good.
You need your network. There's a saying of your network is your net worth. You are nothing without a network.
That's so true.
All right. The second thing I would say is travel. Use this time, study abroad. I'd say one thing I wish I had done after school is I was so eager to just get the job. I struggled to get my first job, but I was so eager to get that first job out of school that I didn't take into account any like working abroad opportunities. Like, you could work on a farm in Southeast Asia for a year and not have to pay rent or anything, and you just get the food. And there's so many awesome opportunities out there that you don't need to rush into the working world. Go explore the world while you can, while you're young, while you're able, and work abroad. Like, there's nothing stopping you from doing so. So why not? You have the whole rest of your life to work. Work abroad.
Yes. Yes, you do. That's another thing I think is true that Jess said.
And then a third one, let's see. Yeah, I think it goes back to the habits. Build your habits now. Something that I do with my unemployed clients is we'll create structure in their day and routine. And we talk about what habits they want to bring with them back into the working world. So really fine tune the habits that you want to solidify right now. That's going to help you out in the long term. It's an investment in your health right now that will compound on itself, because your body's going to change, your mood's going to change, your life is going to change, and your health is going to change. So you need to take care of yourself, not drink every single night.
Oh, that's a very good point. And the investment is so important. The things that you tell yourself, the things that you say to yourself, all of that is an investment in your future confidence and the future you. So please listen to Jess. She's very wise and she knows what she's talking about. Jess, is there a quote, a song, a mantra you live your life by?
Yes. So the mantra I live my life by is more on the negative side of things. And I feel like that's not as common. And it's not forever, it's for now. And it's for when you are going through the thick of it, or you're wanting that next thing for yourself, but you're in that in-between place. Because it's really easy to not think of your mantras or not think of anything like when you're doing well, because you're just like, yeah, I'm living life, everything's good. But when you're down bad, you need something that's going to remind you of like, hey, you're going to get through this. This is not a forever thing. It's just happening right now. And know that there isn't a finish line in sight, and we can get there. We can get there together. You can get there on your own. But it is possible as long as you just continue to take action and continue to show up for yourself in at least some way.
What I've loved most about our conversation is you're encouraging people to show up for them. And I didn't show up for myself in the way that I wish I would have showed up for myself when I was in my university years. I kind of wished them away too quickly. I worked too hard. I never really savored the moments and the experiences. I didn't take your advice, you could say. And if, you know, we're able to show up for ourselves in university, then we're going to be able to show up for ourselves throughout our lives, no matter what happens. It's building that self-trust muscle to know I show up for you. It's who I am. So that no matter what happens, it's still your identity. I take care of me. I treat myself kindly. I speak to myself with compassion because that's who you are. And I love that because I know we've had that discussion prior about the identity being in the work. And so I love what you encourage people to root their identity in now.
Yes. Yes. I love what you said.
I love it. So, okay, Jess, if people love you, they want to learn more about you, where can they go?
You can go to jessdiamondcoaching.com. There's an About Me page. There's links to schedule a call with me if you want to chat. I'm also on Instagram at coach.jessdiamond. I have a podcast called How To 20-something. I have a TikTok also called How To 20-something. So I'm everywhere. Come find me. Come reach out to me. I'd love to have conversations, help you out via DMs or email, whatever you want. But don't be afraid to reach out.
Amazing. Yes, definitely reach out. She's so kind. She's so friendly. Jess, as we wrap up, is there anything you have not said yet that is on your heart and you want to share?
Know who your people are and value those relationships and those connections. And know that they can change too, and that's okay. But who is your core people, and are they helping you succeed? Are they pushing you to be better? Or are they holding you back, and is it time to change things up?
Jess, thank you so much for coming, for being so warm, so fun. I have to throw that one in there. So vulnerable. We're just so grateful that you're willing to share your insights with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Thank you for joining me on Campus Chronicles. I hope you found our discussion informative, inspiring, entertaining, and fun. We are always working hard to make sure that our episodes are the very best they can be, which means we need your help. If you liked what you heard, remember to hit the follow button on your favorite podcast platform and drop us a review. It helps us to connect with more students who are hungry for success. And remember, the journey never stops. Keep listening, keep learning, keep growing. See you next week for another amazing episode of Campus Chronicles.